good to be back tonight. Brother Smith done a great job of leading us in songs, and I'm glad to see him up with courage to try to lead songs, brother. That's something I want to do one day, but I ain't got the courage yet to try. But he's in our Thursday class. Brother Kirby is helping me develop young men, and he's one of the ones that's developing to be a song leader. So we got song leaders, preachers, hopefully elders and deacons are being developed in those classes on Thursday. Good young adult men trying to do what's right. And so he's been a faithful student to that class, and I'm just excited to know you and your wife and to have you here with us at Highland Heights. And just go on, step on up and do it. Like, just sing, brother. If you want to sing, sing. Amen. Good to have everybody back tonight. If you turn your Bibles, James chapter number three. Tonight, we'll look at the man in the mirror, a man who controlled his tongue. We'll look at that proverbial untamable tongue. The tongue that got a lot of us in trouble. Amen. The tongue is something that the Bible says no man can tame. Listen to the Bible in James chapter 3 and the verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive. Notice James said we, including himself, meaning teachers and teachers and preachers and pastors, the elders, those men who are doing these teaching of the word of God. There's a greater condemnation. This is why it's important for me or you as a teacher of the word of God to make sure what we say and what comes from our mouth is according to the scripture. Even though this discussion starts with spiritual teachers, actually it applies to all of us as pertaining to us controlling our tongue. Our tongue is extremely dangerous. Extremely important for us to understand that all of us as children of God should think before we speak. Be slow, swift to hear. There's a reason why God said before you put somebody in your mouth, you make sure the environment you're in, what you're getting ready to say, you think about what harm they can do, because the tongue is much like a gun. Once you pull the trigger, you can't take it back. You may ask for forgiveness. You may say, I didn't mean it. But what happens, the harm was done because you didn't think before you thought, before you spoke. So the man in the mirror must see himself as one under control. Under control meaning I have to control what comes from my mouth. And Bible says in verse 2, for in many things
we offend all.
We offend. In many things we offend. If any man offend not in word,
the same.
He said, you're perfect if you don't offend folk with words. Look at this. Also able to bridle the whole body. The importance of our language and what we say and how we say it is the subject of this whole discussion about our tongue. And so listen to what he said. We must be careful what comes out our mouth, because it's easy to offend with words. And you know what's even dangerous today is text messaging and emails, because those are words. And you know, you can't see expressions, and I try not to do that as much as possible, because people just don't see you on the other end of that thing. And, you know, people can scream at you with these all caps and exclamation mark. They're raising their voice and all that. And then the other thing about emails is that your words are in writing, and people can forward that stuff to everybody else. And, you know, it's very dangerous putting your words in writing like that. And so I warn you, be careful, because that can come back to get you, because it offends. Words can offend. Verse number 3, he said, behold.
We put bits in the horse's mouth.
So James said, now, look, to control a horse, what we do is put bits in their mouth. How many of y'all know what a bridle is? You put the bridle over the head of the horse, and the bits goes in the mouth, and it hurts when you pull him this way, he turns that way, or you pull this way, he turns that way, because that little bit in his mouth is controlling that big old horse. And the reason I know that's important, because when I was growing up and down in MPO, Texas, we used to ride horses bareback with just a bridle on them. Well, this is one day I was riding a red mare. And she was fast. She was fast. And we took pleasure in running horses and things of that nature. But we was dirt roads down in Hempel. And so I took her down in the dirt road, right by myself, me and her. because I was finna stretch what we call stretch her out. In order to see how fast she could run with me on her back. So I let go. When you let go, they loose. You let go of and loose the bit in their mouth, and she took off. She took off, and she run herself out and down like this. And then we had two strings, one you pull right, one you pull left. And I didn't tie them together in a knot. So what happened? I dropped my right one. Now she's in full gallop. She's running. And I can't control her because I only got one bit. If I'd have pulled her like this, she'd have whooped around and thrown me off. So when I'm trying to get down there, every time I try to reach to grab the other side of the bridle of the leather that we hold them with, I couldn't have reached. I went down, she would hit me, and I'd come back up. So I was getting damaged, and I'm getting scared now too, because I don't know how I'm gonna stop this wild horse. This horse is loose. Amen. And so what happened then, long story short, the dirt road crossed a pavement road. And so what happened, she crossed the road, and when she hit the pavement, her feet went off mother. She went over on the side, and I was sitting up on this side of her. She slid all the way across the highway, skinned her all up on the side. And my eye, I probably, if you took a picture, my eye was probably this big. But I had lost control. And the reason I had lost control, because the only control I had of that big horse was those two little bitty bits that bit in her mouth. And when I lost control of that, I lost control of the horse. So that was my experience, and I understand what James is saying, that if you have those little two bits in control, that horse will control you. Notice this. And the main point is to compare the size of the horse to the bit in the heart and mouth of the horse. The bit is small, even though the horse is big. Now watch what else he says. He uses a ship. Verse 4. Behold,
also the ships.
Uh-huh.
Which though they may be so great.
The ships, a big ship, the Titanic, think of it. Which though they be so great
are driven by fierce winds. Yet turned about.
There's this little thing called a rudder at the back. A helm. And a big ship is controlled by that little bitty helm. And what he's saying there, whatsoever the governor, whichever way they turn is the way that big ship moves. And ships being large vessels are controlled by something very small. Verse number 5, he said, Even so
the tongue is a little member.
Being controlled by something small, and the ship being controlled by something small. He said, now, even so, the tongue in our mouth is a little member.
And boasts great things.
But this tongue can boast some great things. And behold,
how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
In other words, fire, if not controlled, is dangerous. The tongue, if not controlled, can do some serious damage. Just like that bit, just like the ham, our tongue is a little member in our mouth that can get us in a whole lot of trouble. I don't know if you all burned wood before or had fireplaces. I mean, how many of you had fireplaces before? But back when you did outdoor burning, you don't see people doing it in the houses with fireplaces. But we would take a piece of pine, old pine, and shave it off. And we call those kindlings. And so what we do is that that pine would light. And we're trying to start a small fire. You take the pine kindling and you light the big fire. So it took a little fire to start the big fire. And so what James is saying, now look here, a little fire can do a lot of damage if it's not controlled. If you go to a campsite and you build a fire and you start it with a little match, even a match to start a fire, and if you don't control that thing in that camp, that fire can burn down the whole forest. And it started with one little match. And what the Bible is teaching us, if we can understand it, James is saying our little tongue, it can be dangerous. It can be very dangerous. Because it can be like that fire in the forest in the forest that burns down the whole forest. It started out as a small little thing. Look what he says in verse 6.
And the tongue is a fire.
Is a fire.
A world of iniquity.
A world of iniquity.
So is the tongue among our members.
So is the tongue among our members.
That it defileth the whole body. And set it on fire, the course of nature.
Set it on fire, the course of nature.
And it is set on the fire of hell.
The tongue, you got to look in the mirror and say, man, how well do I control my tongue? The tongue can cause us to lose our souls. At the end of the day, we got to understand the tongue is a world of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity. That's disturbing me a little bit. You want me to turn this off? Because it's irritating me. Let me stop. Oh, here's the problemo. It's hanging down here. My bad. The kids would say. Let me fix it. I knew something wasn't right. Was it bothering y'all too?
Mm-mm.
No? I'm the only one who's irritated by it?
Okay, sorry. Right.
Well, let's get it right, okay? Y'all okay with that? Okay, thank you. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take it off because I'm not able to fix it. So I'll just give it to you. And I'll use this one. That'd be fine. I don't want little things to distract us from hearing the word of God. Amen. Especially my delivery. Remember, considering I'm saying the tongue, I don't want to say something that... Amen. Because, you know, in being a public speaker, you really got to be careful what you say.
Man.
Yeah, you got to really be careful, especially if we're dealing with souls of people and the lives of people. And being doing this for 28-plus years, I have, in many occasions, people come and say something about what I've said. And so that's why I'm concerned. We all should be concerned as preachers and teachers of God's word that we be careful what we say as it pertains to salvation. And so James is saying the tongue is a fire. The tongue is dangerous. The tongue is a world of iniquity. The words from the mouth of men will and has caused many problems in the world. Man, they really getting on Trump, isn't it? What Trump's doing? He's using that tongue. And people are loving him because he's being wrong. But he's using his words. He's really not being political. He's putting, shooting a lot of words out there and using the tongue in order to, as a weapon. And so the tongue can be used by those who want to use it in whatever way they want to use it. And so those of us who are children, we have to be children of God. We want to make sure our tongue is used in a way that brings glory to God. Our tongue is not controlled, but set our whole body on a dangerous course of nature that will lead us to lose our soul. Mm-hmm. Verse 7.
For every kind of beast.
When your tongue is out of control.
And of birds and of serpents.
Every kind of beast and birds and of serpents.
And of things in the sea is tamed.
Tamed.
And hath been tamed of mankind.
And he's saying now you can take a wild animal and tame it. And we see that. I see men, some men, they don't. Got to the point where they'll lay up with lions. I said, man, that's how you going to lay up and play with lions? I've seen that. Have y'all seen that? Crocodile Dundee and those guys. They get out there with them wild animals and doing things with them. And you see the big whale and how they get out there and what they call that, a splash town or whatever. What is it?
Yeah.
The big killer whales, how they be?
Man move.
They call themselves taming them big whales and riding on their backs and everything. And then end up, they go back to the wild and they kill them or something. But my point is that the Bible's saying there's kinds of beasts and birds and serpents of things in the sea is tamed. It can be tamed and had tamed the man. Man can tame these things. But notice what the Bible said. This is something that really catches my attention in the study of this text.
But the tongue,
notice
can
this.
No man tame.
Man cannot tame the tongue. Is that what your Bible say? Yeah. He said, "There's no man can tame it. We're in trouble. Man can't tame the tongue. You notice what he describes. Why can't the tongue be tamed?
It is an unruly evil.
No, the tongue itself is an unruly evil.
Full of deadly poison.
It is poisonous. It ain't just poisonous, but it's deadly. It's deadly poison that the tongue puts out. How many of you know in your own personal experiences and people in your life, how many lives and relationships have been destroyed, or people have been hurt, ruined by words from someone that said they loved them? It's a deadly poison. It's like once you get bit by the snake, the venom goes into the bloodstream. You have to deal with what happens once the snake bites you. It's a deadly poison. It's like pulling the trigger. You can't take it back. Husband and wives, marriages have been torn apart because the husband or the wife said things in anger that they could never get over. Church relationships are damaged, severely scarred, because I can't forget what you said. Family relationship, brothers and sisters who no longer speak, who no longer have relationship with their families because of something you said or something somebody said. Well, I didn't mean that. You done pulled the trigger. Acquaintances, friends, family members, acquaintances, co-workers, co-laborers, men and women of God, we need to remember that we have to make sure we think before we speak. Why? Looking at the man in the mirror, God is saying, take care of that tongue. Keep it under control. The tongue, what causes gossipers, whispers, backbiters, all that comes from the tongue. If man can't tame the tongue, what is our answer? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Look here, this is why we need to be children of God. This is why we need to study the Word of God. This is why we need to add the Word of God to our hearts, our minds, that we might not sin. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Notice this.
Joy.
The fruit of the Spirit, what?
Is love. Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Long suffering. Gentleness.
Gentleness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faith.
Faith.
Meekness. Temperance.
Temperance.
Against such there is no law.
And they that are of Christ
have crucified the flesh with the
affections. That happened at baptism.
And lust.
With the lust of faith. Now notice the verse number 25.
If we live in the spirit.
In the spirit, let us also what?
Walk in the spirit.
So the way we can't do it on our own. But once we obey the gospel and we get the Spirit, and then we're led by the Spirit, and then we're walking by the Spirit, that's how we keep ourselves temperate, under control. The Bible said, don't blurt out answers. Slow. Think. So what's the answer? Can man tame it? The answer is no. What is our choice? Obey God and be led by what? The Spirit of God. And when we're led by the Spirit of God, we're swift to hear and slow to
speak.
There's a reason why that's in our Bible. Verse 9, therefore, bless we God. With our tongue, we can bless God.
Even the Father.
And therewith curse we men.
And
I've seen people do it. They say something in the name of God, next thing you know, they curse the folk out. And that's the tongue. The tongue is able to go both ways. You ever heard somebody, you speak with a forked tongue? What do they mean? You talking out both sides of your mouth. What does that mean? You say one thing and then you say something else. So what are we saying today? He's saying that this tongue is full of evil. It's unruly. It has to be under control. And it produces deadly poisons. And you can be speaking good of God and then cursing the men. And then which are made after the similitude of God. Now what?
Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings.
This same mouth I have can present blessings to you, or it can present cursings. And he said, my brethren, James said, these things, who is he talking to? Those who have the Spirit and those who are led by the Spirit. That's those of us who are children of God. He said, that should not be the case with us. Mm-hmm. Amen. Does the fountain send forth
at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree,
that's
my brother?
If you drink water, is it going to come out both or just one? It's going to either be sweet or it's going to be bitter. Can the fig tree, my brother?
Olive berries?
Some, matter of fact, we're talking about fig tree. I got some. Somebody brought me some fig preserves. Yeah, you get some good old biscuits. There was some fig preserves. Hey, man, that's good. I mean, y'all like fig preserves. Don't come to me because I got me a bottle today, and I'm going to eat them myself. Yeah. Figs. And I just thought I'd throw that and say figs. And can the fig tree, amen, can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries? What's the answer to that question?
Either a vine.
No. Figs. A fig tree is not going to bear no olive berries. Either a vine,
figs.
So can no fountain yield
both salt water and fresh?
What's the answer to these questions? No. So what is James trying to get us to see? What's the fruits coming from?
The tongue.
Yeah, from your mouth. So if you're a child of God, then we ought not be hearing no cursing. If you're led by the Spirit, we ought to have two different kinds of waters coming out your mouth, two different types of speech language. Now, how many of you, when you leave and you go home, you go back to cursing? That means your tongue is not under control yet. Now, some of you know you still got a bad vocabulary. And because I haven't been around some of you, and you slipped. I'm sorry, Brother Brooke. Well, that's because you've been doing it. It ain't the first time. It ain't doing it. Oops. It ain't a oops. And then some of you replace those curse words with euphemisms. Y'all know what a euphemism is? It's a replaced word. That's why I don't let my children, my grandchildren, when they say, dang, I say that don't say that, because that means something else, really. That's called a euphemism. And so all of you who changing your curse words into euphemism, you need to get away from the euphemism. Because it has the same meaning. Now, how many of y'all need to work on euphemisms? And some brothers, amen. Yeah, some of you know. And I remember, I'm just going to be straight up honest. I remember when I was I was 24, obeyed the gospel at 25. I had a bad, nasty mind. And I remember that. And when I had to change, and I tell the newcomers this, I had to use replacement words because I didn't know how to talk right. Because I didn't talk like a Christian. Christian didn't use curse words in every other word. When I was growing up, we did. That's the way we did. That's the way we talked. You know, if you was out there and you was bad and you was in the street, and you use curse words. That's part of your language. That's made you tough. And then you get baptized and they tell you can't say that. And you start saying, I don't like you. Go down yonder. Whole lot of stuff you start replacing it with trying to figure out how to say it a different way. But you have the same meaning and you didn't help yourself. It has to have a different meaning. And that's what I'm saying. And so I know there's a need to start using replacement language to get you in a habit. But as a child of God, the more the word of God you put in, you start using the language of the scripture. And that's what makes you're led in by the Spirit. So if you're still talking that street language, what you need to do is get into the Word of God and learn. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing to help you. When you're around people and you're used to cursing and you go back around them same folk, it's going to be hard to stop. Because that's the same stuff you're still hearing. And that's why if you come up to the church, I hope you don't come up here and hear nobody. You know, but you might. You just don't never know. Somebody might let one slip. You know, they good as long as you don't push their button. Y'all been around folk like that? Yeah. You know, the old man show up again. So he said, what is the question? Can this mouth of ours produce cursing and blessing, sweet water, or bitter water? Yes. But when you are led by the Spirit, then you are controlled by what? The Spirit then guides you. That's why it's important to have the Spirit, to know God and to have a relationship with God and to be baptized that you may receive the Spirit. And the Spirit makes intercession. Your spirit then bears witness with the Spirit of God that you are a child of God. And then you follow the Scripture. Verse 13.
Who is a wise man?
Now he gets into wisdom.
And endued with knowledge among you.
It was interesting. He came right out of tongue and said, now, wise people react from wisdom that's from above. Notice what he says. Who is a man that endured with knowledge among you? Who is this person? How can you tell this person? If they're running off at the mouth, they're not using wisdom. Wisdom says, slow down. Who is wise among you? Notice what he got, how he show his wisdom.
Let him show out of a good conversation.
Stop. What dictates the conversation? The tongue. So he goes into the fact, your conversation speaks to your wisdom. Our conversation speaks to our wisdom. You look in the word, you look in the mirror, and you ask yourself, did I speak before I think? What did I do? What did my language cause? What kind of problem has it caused? Should I have thought about this thing before I put it out there like that? Should I have said that? Should I have thought it through first? Now, he said, here's how we show your wisdom. Out of a good what?
Conversation.
His works
with meekness of wisdom.
Notice this. But if
you have bitter envy and
strife
in your heart.
But if you have bitter envying and what?
Strife in your heart.
In your mind, in your heart. You thinking this. Don't get excited about that. He said, glory not.
Because you're not against the truth.
Do I have to say it to be proper? No. You're already thinking it. When you start, before. Go get Matthew 15, 18. See, the development of the things you're going to say start in the mind. In Matthew 15, 18, notice what the book says there in Matthew 15 in verse number 18. So you're developing your thoughts. This is why I believe that the Bible says be slow to speak swifter. Yeah. You're listening more than you're talking. And then he says,
but those things proceed out of the mouth come forth. From the heart.
Now, whatever's coming from this little tongue started where? In the heart. Notice what happened.
And they
defile
the man.
Here's what proceeds out of the mouth. That defiles the man. Same thing James is saying. Read.
For out of the heart proceed
evil
thoughts.
Out of this heart proceed what?
Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man.
Where did it start? In thought. Ain't that what Jesus addressed when it came to adultery? He said, if a man looketh upon a woman and lust, he's committed adultery already where? In the heart. So what we got to do is add God's word to our heart so our heart is filled with pure thinking and pure thoughts, and it helps us with our conversation. You can have a better conversation when you have better things going in your mind. Now, if you listen to Slim Thug and them guys all week on the radio, on the way to work and on the way home, Future and Lil Gotti, what is that? Lil Gotti, which one is it? Come on, help me out, Dennis. Which one you listen to? Yo Gotti, and then. There's a whole lot of other, but that's the young people. And you wonder why some young people can't stop talking crazy because they listen to crazy stuff. Amen. And man, if you listen to violence and you listen to the singing, and I tell our youth, and that's the important thing about these lyrics going into your mind, it's already defiling you because it's filling your thoughts with a bunch of foolishness, and those things gonna come out your mouth. And then those of us who are outdoors, I mean, you can't get away with 102 every day, all day. I know some of you going, I pull up on one sister. She had 102 blasts. And I said, sis, you have to turn it. You're in the parking lot. You know, and you listening to B.B. King, your older folks still listen to some blues. Johnny Taylor. Who else? Huh? Bobby Blue Bland. Out back in Brother Lloyd there. Brother Lloyd, you hit Bobby Blue Bland. You didn't get no blues, did you? Yeah. So that, those of us who came up and we've listened to Isley Brothers and all that, you know, it's not wise for us to go back on that stuff. Huh. Wow, it revived some things. Yeah. What's that? Who's saying turn out the light? Al Green.
Teddy Pendergrass. Huh? Teddy Pendergrass.
That's Teddy. Oh, Floyd, no. Oh, Floyd. Floyd, that's Teddy. He's the one trying to sound like Teddy. Barry White. Barry White had a deep voice, didn't you, Brother Cat? You heard Barry? You put it on her, Sister Cash? Brother Cash start singing like Barry when he wanted to get you? He didn't. When you want to get a female, you put Barry in the tape player. And let Barry talk all the way in the car. Come on, Barry. But see, here's the thing. I'm just having a little fun. But what I'm saying is this, is that y'all, this up here is where we got to get ourselves under control, because our thinking is under control, our tongue is going to be better under control. That makes sense? And then he says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart,
there's confusion and every evil work.
Glory not, lie not against the truth.
This wisdom descended not from
above.
You got
to be honest. The wisdom that you're using is not from above, but it's earthly,
sensual.
It's sensual.
And devilish.
And what else?
Devilish.
Notice this. The wisdom descended not from above, the one he just talked about, but here what it is. It's earthly, it's sensual. Notice the things that he lists. It's limited to the earth. It has no divine association. It's of human character, sensual. And and we're frail in a lot of ways. We're not able to do everything we need to do. But he said this wisdom from, if we just rely on our wisdom, we're going to be dealing with an immature heart. Notice he says, and devilish, where envy
and strife
is. Notice what he says.
There's confusion and
so
every
who's
evil
the
work.
Art of confusion? It is not God. God is not the art of confusion, but of what? Of peace. So if there's confusion in the matter, God didn't do it. So who could have done it? Wisdom is not from above. If we relied on man's wisdom, we're going to be dealing with confusion. That's why you have all these different churches on different corners. Because that's man's wisdom. Then he said, but the wisdom
that is from above.
Now here's the one we want to exemplify in our lives.
Is now, first
let's
pure.
Just list them. The first thing, wisdom from above is what?
First pure.
It's pure. It's not going to do any damage because it's pure. It's from God. And number two.
Then peaceable.
It's not going to be a fighter. It's not going to be fighting because it's peaceable.
Then gentle.
Gentle.
And
easy
to
be
entreated,
approachable. Read.
Full of mercy.
It also, and same thing we talked about this morning, if you want mercy, you give mercy. And wisdom above is full of mercy, because we all know that we need the mercy of God. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice what else he says.
And
it's
good
without
fruits.
Good fruits. It's going to produce good things. And
without partiality,
it's not, without and we talk about it, it's not going to have a respect to person. It's without partiality, and it's not going to be hypocritical. Notice, and the fruit
of
righteousness, notice this,
is sown in peace
of them
that make peace.
Righteousness flourishes in climates where there is spiritual peace. That's why the church is a good place to be. Amen?
Amen.
Because we should be able to stay at peace in the Lord's house. Amen. We ought to live what? peaceable, well, as much lieth in us.
Right.
The Bible says, if you can, sometimes you can. Mm-hmm. But as much lieth in us, the Bible says, live what?
Peaceably
with all men. Man. Why? That's wisdom from above. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of righteousness is sown, the way we know you've been guided by the Spirit. The Spirit, when he says the fruit of the Spirit, it don't say fruits. The Spirit, when we have the Spirit, then, and we're led by the Spirit, then that's the fruit of righteousness is shown in the sown in peace of them that what?
Make peace.
Make sure what you say, what conversation we have, should be used, should be guided by wisdom that's from above. If our conversation is guided by wisdom from above, James said, show your wisdom by your conversation. Make sure what we say will make peace to the listener. So many fights have started because of conversation. Amen. And brothers and sisters, as children of God, remember, as Christians, if we're going to start working on growing our life, growing as children of God, this is one area that we have to work on. Would you agree?
Amen.
Because no man can tame the tongue. No man. I think about all the killings I've heard about recently. Just like the lady who, she committed suicide. But if you look at the video, just her conversation with the police officer was already getting her in trouble. You can't tell me. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, and I'm really talking to you. I'm just really concerned about so many young people getting killed. And I've said this several sermons now that you got to learn to respect authority. And if a police officer pull you over, control your conversation. Those are men like we are. They have to defend themselves. Their lives are at risk. And the last thing we want them to think is that I'm a risk. Did you know God put the police for us, for Christians? And we should respect. If you live the life of a criminal, they're gonna arrest you. So please, get that under control. If you get pulled over by a law enforcement officer, that's his job. Respect him. He ain't no homie on the street. I'm trying to help the young people because we don't know what the statistic we're going to have right here if we don't talk to our people. And we're talking about your tongue get you in a whole lot of trouble. The man was just going to give you a ticket. He was just going to give you I mean, y'all watch Cops. And obviously, I was just going to give you a misdemeanor, but you don't run your mouth now. I'm going to take you to jail. Quiet in here. Because, you know, this is the truth, isn't it? So when we look at the man in the mirror, you look the day we've talked about. When I look in the mirror, number one, the AM service was, am I a man or woman that shows respect to person? This evening, when I look in the mirror, am I a man or woman of God that got my tongue under control? Or is that an area in my life, my Christian life, that I need to work on? And if the answer in your heart is yes, God saw it. And you know. And I know there are people in here, I've had to work on my tongue in 30 years I've been in. And a lot of times, I won't say nothing before I blurt out something. I won't say, sometimes, if you work with Brother Brooke, you see, before I speak, I'm going to put it in writing so I know how to say it. So I'm saying it the way I think. And sometimes we start going off the hip, shooting this stuff. And you can hurt people like that. Put it down and make sure you're going to say it in a way that's going to bring peace. It's not going to be something that's going to hurt somebody. And you know, say, well, tough love, I know. That don't mean we don't tell the truth. I'm not saying that. The truth had to be told. That's what we do with our children. We teach them the truth because what? We love them. But do we always tell them what they want to hear? We don't tell them what they want to hear, but we do use our tongue to advise them and say things to them that's going to help them, amen, survive in this life. Yeah. And that's what we have to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes you just have to tell Brother Brooks the truth. But it sure feels better when somebody says, Brother Brooks, you know, I love you, but, you know, here's some concerns. Thank you for saying you love me. At least I know you ain't doing it because you hate me. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the anger that comes with it and the tone of the voice, all that's important in conversation. The tone, getting loud and raising your voice, just like in marriages. Man, so many fights start over tone. How you going to talk to me? I ain't your child. My daddy over there in the graveyard. You ain't my daddy. You ain't my mama. Because you talking to me like I'm a child. That's tone. You didn't marry a child. You married an elder. And then some of you who are thinking about getting married, that's something you got to think about. How is she talking to you right now? How is he speaking to you? Is he talking down to you? Is he talking to you like a child now? But don't expect him to change when he married. You got to deal with that premarital. Those are the kind of things you earmark. What happens when she gets angry? What comes out of her mouth? Well, go back on an occasion when you got heated. What did they say? Did they have to come back and say, I'm sorry? Why did they have to say, I'm sorry? Because anger led to wrath and you said things that hurt. So what are you advising, Brother Brooks? Understand, premarital means conversations have to be had before you marry, and you need to know what conditions they are. Not that you can't fix them, because everything that we do can be forgiven, can't we? And all of us make mistakes, and all of us say things that we didn't mean, and we have to ask for forgiveness. But if you start controlling it, a lot less of that will happen, because you're controlling, you're thinking before you be. Why? The wise man looking in the mirror, a man, a woman, with their tongue under control. Man, a woman who control his tongue is what God expects from those of us who are children of God. There's one thing all of us need to say before we die, and that is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is as a confession with the tongue that's going to be made either before you die or after you die in judgment. When you go to judgment, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Surely he was the Son of God. For God loved the world, sent his Son, and his Son came. He lived a good life. He had wisdom that was from above. No guile ever came out of his mouth. He was a great example of asking for forgiveness and asking God to forgive people who wronged him. He said the right things when he needed to say it. Jesus is the example of one who had his tongue under control. But they led him up a hill called Calvary and they questioned him, and he just said, you say, that's what you say. Sometimes he didn't even answer. But yet he took the beating and the whipping. But he controlled his tongue all the way. And he was working on his disciples and telling them to deal with their tongue. He was helping Peter them. And he was telling how to control your tongue. But yet they beat him and they whipped him and took him up on the hill of Calvary. On that hill, he didn't say but seven words. Seven things came from his mouth on that cross. He asked God to forgive him, for they know not what to do. He told John, behold your mother. John, behold your mother. He said to his father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He said, I thirst. Then he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Did I miss one? That's the last one. Before he died, he said, it is finished. Did he say anything from the cross that would hurt anybody? It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. He exemplified what it is. And I'm glad he died for me and I'm glad for you, aren't you? But he didn't just die, he suffered for all of us that we could have this hope of eternal life. If you're here tonight, you didn't know that Jesus died for you. I've told you he suffered, and that's called the gospel. How he suffered on that cross 6 long hours for you. You must hear that with your ears. Acts 15 and 7. You must believe that in your mind. You believe the word of the gospel. You hear it and believe it. You repent. I mean, you make a decision up here to make change like the young lady did on this morning. Then after that, you must confess with your mouth what your heart's been made to believe. That is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. After that, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And when you're baptized for the remission of sin, you'll see the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 3, except to be born of the water and the Spirit, you can't see or enter the kingdom of heaven. Y'all don't even get to see it. And then once you get the Spirit, then you're led by the Spirit by studying his word and being guided by the Spirit. That's how you keep your tongue under control. Amen. The man in the mirror, a man, a woman who controls his or her tongue. Have you controlled to the point that you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Can you make your confession if you need to? Will you do that tonight? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? The question is, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood? If not, we beckon you to come to the front. We'll baptize you tonight that you may be a child of God. You're now getting yourself under control. Be led by the Spirit, and heaven one day will be your home. If you're here tonight, you need to make a confession with your mouth, or you need to confess your fault, or you need to ask for prayer, we ask you to come or send a card down. Let us know what your needs are. Put it in writing. Come down and say it yourself. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Together we stand in song. Look at the mirror. A man who controls.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Why not tonight?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour?
Have you washed in the blood
of the Lamb?
Why would you come tonight and be washed?
Are you washed in the blood?
So
cleansing blood
of the Lamb, of the Lamb, all your garments spotless are they white as snow. Are you washed? Please be seated.